Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you with us, especially those who are visiting with us. And we do have several who are with us, and some for the very first time. And we're very happy that you are here. There are some who are maybe not here for the very first time, but you are fairly new visitors. And we're delighted by your presence. And thank you very much for the opportunity to get to know you better and to have you in our midst. I want to direct your attention this morning to this passage of Scripture in Proverbs 20, verse 29. Here the wise sage says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair." The honor of old men is their gray hair. Just recently, when I got back from getting a haircut, I came home and looked at myself in the mirror and commented to my wife, "Something's wrong. Normally when I get my hair cut, the gray gets cut off, and I've just got all this white stuff here." And I thought to myself, I'm starting to look as old and decrepit as Pat Gill. And then I thought, no, that's really unfair, because I'm not that bad yet. But I think a lot of times we're like that. We look at ourselves. I'm sorry, Pat. I didn't mean that. A lot of times we look at the fact that we are aging, and of course we fight against that, and we lament that, and we keep trying to look at ourselves in the mirror and pretend that we're not aging in that way, and we look pretty good, you know, for whatever age we are, you know, and we try to say all of those kinds of things. And we're constantly fighting against the fact that we're getting older. And yet here's a passage of Scripture that says there's real value in being older. This passage of Scripture says, sure, there's strength in youth, but there also is honor. And we need to understand that there is honor as we age and as we get older. At least that's the way that it should be if we're aging and getting older as people who are growing in wisdom and growing in experience. There is something honorable about age. And maybe in our society where youth is lauded, and when you look in commercials, it's the youthful and beautiful people that are always there to advertise this and that. Maybe we don't believe that in our society. But we need to remind ourselves that age is indeed honorable. As the wise sage said in Proverbs 16, verse 31, "Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life." And these, of course, are proverbs that are not intended to be taken in some absolute way. There are always some exceptions here and there. But generally speaking, what the wise sage is saying is that that person who lives to that good old stage of life is a person who has lived life wisely, has not just lived life with indiscretion. In fact, that person's gray hair is really a sign of the nobility of age and the experience and wisdom that is ultimately there. I want to talk with you this morning about the fact that we need to be looking toward those who are older, who are more experienced, to gain wisdom from them, to gain from the benefit of their knowledge and the years that they have lived and walked down a path that we, if we are younger, have not yet walked down. And that's an important thing that I think we need to be reminded of from time to time. I want to say to you this morning, brethren, that age is something that should be respected. It absolutely needs to be respected. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, here's what the law of Moses mandated for the Israelites. God says, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God." And I like the fact that there is a connection stated in that law about the reverence that one would have for God and those who are older. and showing reverence and deference to those who are older human beings. There is a connection there. You recall that the Old Testament speaks about God as the Ancient of Days. And in that great vision in the book of Daniel, the Lord on His throne and His white gray hair, that is a symbol not of being decrepit, not something negative, but instead a symbol of the wisdom that God has. Well, here, old people and those who are in their older years are juxtaposed with God, and it's not something negative. In fact, they're people who should be honored. And that honor needs to be given to them. They need to be respected, and that respect should be manifested in some way. When I was growing up, my parents taught me that when an older person walked into the room, you got up. My parents taught me if any person came into a room who was a visitor, you got up. But if there was someone who was an older individual who came into the room, you absolutely got up. In fact, you gave him your chair. And I'll tell you how my dad taught me that and taught my brothers and my sister that. He was the older person that we had to give up and give his chair to because he had the best chair in the house. And we liked to sit in that. But when he walked into the room, in fact, it really almost got to be choreographed. Dad would walk in the room, and we'd just get up and go over here to the couch, and Dad would sit there in his chair, and then after a while, he would get up out of his chair, go back to his office, and we'd get off the couch and get back in his chair. He had a real comfortable chair, and it reclined and everything. But if he came back into the room, we'd get up, and then the choreography would start all over again. It used to be in our society that just about all parents would teach their children, now you address so-and-so, they're an older person, you address them as Mr. so-and-so or as Mrs. so-and-so. And you say, yes, sir. And you say, no, ma'am.
And I don't know that our society does that as diligently as it used to. It used to be that those who were older would be very, very uncomfortable with the question of, okay, now that I have reached adulthood, am I old enough to call Mr. So-and-so by his first name now? Or if I'm not yet, when will I be? And you know, people kind of go through that whole bit. Where is that line? I don't know. But you would err on the side of caution. But I don't know that it's that way now. A lot of times, people will not even bother to even deal with that. In fact, those who are very young think nothing at all about calling an old person by their first name. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, those things that are societal and cultural, I'm not trying to mandate all of that. But what I am trying to say, the Bible certainly does teach that in some way, shape, or form, those who are older need to be respected, and there needs to be some sign of respect. And I do lament the fact that in our society in general, those signs of respect for those who are older, they seem to be passé in a lot of quarters. And the problem, of course, is that the young people are being raised by parents who are not giving that attention, not giving that kind of instruction. And so here you go. But age is something that absolutely should be respected. In fact, I'm impressed with what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy. And I want us to think about what we said in this morning's auditorium class about the apostolic teaching and those agents of the apostles like Timothy who were representing those apostles and therefore in that sense had a certain amount of authority. And yet Paul still said to Timothy, Timothy, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but appeal to him as a father. There's just a way that you can talk to someone who is your peer and even giving them a sharp kind of rebuke because you are peers that you don't have a right to do when you're talking and having to give some correction to someone who is older. And somebody asks, well, okay, how much older? Where's the line? I don't know. But there's a concept here. There's a principle here.
And Paul said to even Timothy, who was an inspired prophet, an agent of God, Paul had laid hands upon him, he'd received that spiritual gift, and here he is dealing with these people there in Ephesus, and Paul still says, now if you have to correct an older man, don't sharply rebuke him, but you appeal to him as you would a father. You show that deference, you show that respect for someone whose age puts him in a different role than you are. There is some kind of a hierarchy in that sense. There is some kind of a difference of status and difference of role in that sense. And Paul told Timothy, you better respect that. And we need to respect that. And we need to teach our children that. And all of this is something that leads me to the main point here that I want to take a few more minutes talking about. And that is the concept the Bible gives us that the older people are the ones who should guide those who are younger. Now, obviously, we think about that in regard to a local church. The overseers of a local church, God said in His wisdom that it would be older men. And of course, those are relative terms. But the fact of the matter is that those who are older and therefore have had more experience, have been walking down that path longer, they're the ones who should be in the lead role. That's the way it is in regard to the formal leadership of a church. But what we see there is just a specific example of something that is really a general kind of concept in God's teaching. Look with me, if you will, at the book of Titus chapter 2. And look at what Paul begins to say in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, as here in this particular set of verses, he's talking to those women who were older women. He says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that, now watch it, so that they may encourage the young women, some versions say train, you can read the word train young women, so that they may encourage or train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. It's a good thing that we have a class right now for the women, and we've got women who have more years and more experience who are teaching the other women in that class, who are teaching those who are younger. That's absolutely in accordance with what the Bible presents as God's will. That's God's wisdom in regard to all of this. And you know, this is a point that I think we need to understand, this concept that those who are older and therefore have that experience need to be the ones who give the benefit of that experience to those who are younger, and the younger need to heed that and accept that. Every now and then somebody will ask me to preach some lessons, or maybe we can have a Bible class on marriage or on parenting. And those are important and good subjects for us to address, and they need to be addressed in formal sermons or in some formal kind of Bible study. But have you ever thought about this? Just how much material is in the Bible dealing with how to be a good spouse? How much Bible material is actually there? I mean, there certainly is some. I mean, you can look at what, you know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to the end of the chapter, where he talks about wives being submissive to their husbands and gives several things there. And then he talks to husbands about loving their wives. And there are important foundational principles that are stated there that need to be understood. You've got a parallel passage in Colossians, a lot less material given there. You've got some other passages, you know, 1 Peter chapter 5, or rather chapter 3, with a parallel kind of discussion. You've got several places in the Bible where certainly you can go to for some instruction about how to be a good spouse. Proverbs 31 talking about a good wife, a worthy woman. You can talk about Job 31 and what Job says there about a worthy man. But the point I want you to see is that when you look at all of the Bible material, and there's a lot of material in that book that we call the Bible, and you consider how much of it is devoted to instruction about how to be a good husband or how to be a good wife, there's comparatively little. And that used to bother me years ago, because I'm trying to work up lessons here, and I have such a sense in my mind, and I think properly so, about the fact that the Bible needs to be our standard and guiding us and all this. And I was so frustrated by the fact there's just not a lot of Bible material dealing with how to be a good husband and how to be a good wife. And then it finally hit me. The Bible gives those basic principles, but the practicalities of it, guess where God wants us to learn that? From those older people who have had the experience of applying those biblical principles in their day-to-day life, and the older are to be guiding and training the younger. That's why Paul tells Titus, you make sure that the older women not only give attention to their own character, but you make sure that they train those younger women to love their husbands and to be good keepers at home and to do those things that they need to do as a wife and as a mother. Because the older ones are to be teaching the younger ones all the practicalities, all the judgment errors. And yes, there is judgment. There's a lot of judgment involved. How to be a good wife and how to deal with marital issues. How to be a good parent and how to deal with various issues of raising little kids in various stages of life. How you handle it here when they're in the infant stage. How you handle them when they're in those terrible twos. How do you deal with teenagers? All those different stages of parenting. Where does God want us to be going to get some instruction about how to deal with all those kinds of practicalities? From those who've already been through all that. People who've already been through all that and have been applying those biblical principles that the Bible certainly does give. And that's why we have classes like the one that the ladies are having now. That's why we have classes like we've had before for the young married men. And like we're fixing to have starting this week with those young married women. That's why we're having that. And it's for the purpose of allowing those who've had some experience to help those who are younger understand some things about maybe just how to do it and just the nitty-gritties of life. But if we don't appreciate the fact that that's God's plan, and therefore that's how God wants those who are inexperienced to gain some knowledge, if we don't understand that, then we're not going to take the benefit of all that and reap the benefit and reward of all of that. Folks, experience is something that older people have, and that experience of older people should be valued. I'm impressed with the Elihu character in the book of Job. Jeff gave a sermon recently on the book of Job, a very fine lesson on the book of Job, and he mentioned Elihu. And of course, when you come there toward the end of the book of Job, you have this speech now of Elihu. He hadn't even been mentioned before, and all of a sudden he just sort of appears there in the text and gives this discourse before God ultimately speaks. And there's a lot of debate among interpreters as to is Elihu's speech, is that being presented in the book of Job as something which is good and positive, something right, or is it something that's being presented as really still not quite on the mark, like the statements of Job's three friends? And there's debate about that, and I'm not totally certain about how we're to view and understand Elihu's speech. But one thing that I am very much impressed with, and that's the very first thing that's said about this younger man. Now, Elihu had waited to speak
to Job because the other men were years older than he. The others were years older than he. I have been in business meetings or congregational meetings. I'm not talking about here with this group. But in my life, I have been in business meetings where apparently the attitude of people is, well, this is all to be handled sort of like our American democratic system of government. And so everybody has a vote, and what everybody has to say is to be viewed as having equal weight. And I've been involved in business meetings where here are older men who've been Christians for years who are making their comments, and then here's a 16-year-old kid who was baptized last week, and somehow he speaks up, and he's supposed to be listened to, and what he says with the same weight as these other men. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. It's not a slap at the young man. It's just the fact that it completely goes against the concept of wisdom going with age and experience. And we need to understand that. That's not to suggest that those who are younger might not have something absolutely good that needs to be considered. But we need to understand there's a difference. There is a difference. And the experience of older people needs to be valued, and it needs to be given greater weight. And in our American society, in our democratized society, we maybe just make all these assumptions that somehow everybody has to have equal say and everybody's opinion is of equal weight. That's absolutely foolish to think that way. And that's not to say that whatever older people say must be right. Not to say that at all. In fact, again, in the book of Job, Job's three older friends turned out to be giving some really poor statements on this case. But we do need to understand, and those who are younger need to understand, that deference needs to be given to those who are older and have more experience. And of course, the classic illustration of this, I won't take time to really talk about it. You know it very well, Rehoboam's folly, where he listened to his peers rather than the counsel of the older men, and as a result of that, he lost the bulk of his kingdom. The experience of older people needs to be valued. The wise sage said, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel." And that's right here at the head of the book of Proverbs, and it's sort of a wisdom principle. If you are a wise person of any degree, you're going to recognize your own inexperience and your own need for counsel from those who are wiser and more and have had more experience. And so a wise man is going to seek counsel and seek to gain more wisdom, not just assume that he or she knows it all right now. And what that means is looking to those who are older, who've already been through all of this. Let me tell you what a lot of young people say. I've had young people say this to me. It's almost a quote. "Well, I just want to learn by my own experience. I don't want to listen to your advice." Sometimes children say that to parents. Sometimes those who are younger say that to older ones who are trying to counsel them. "Well, I hear what you're saying, but and you're saying the course I'm pursuing is not wise, but even if it isn't wise, I just want to learn by my own experience." And you know, we have this saying, experience is the best teacher, you know. Several years ago, I had someone say to me this, "Experience may be the best teacher, but the best students don't need the best teacher." If you're a good student and you're trying to learn math, you may have a lousy math teacher. Jeff is not who I'm talking about, by the way, clearly. But if you're a good student, you can get it, you can learn it, even if the teacher's not the best in the world, if you'll work hard. Experience might be the best teacher, but the best students don't need the best teacher. It's absolute folly
for young people to think like this, and so many do. Well, okay, this may be a mistake, and if I have to suffer consequences for it, well, so what? I'm just going to go with what I think. Even though all the older ones are saying, that's a glaring mistake. And what it is a sign of the youthful naivete where they don't really appreciate just how bad those consequences will be. How bad those consequences will be that they will be experiencing. Oh, I just want to learn by my own experience. The fool opens his mouth and spouts folly. No, the fact of the matter is, we need to understand what Proverbs 28 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who walks wisely will be delivered. Or this passage, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. We have a lot of people in this congregation. We have a lot of people who are going through a lot of difficulties right now. There's a lot of people who are having difficulties in their marriage. A lot of younger couples. Kind of struggling. This is the world in which we live, and it's just a struggle. There are a lot of people who are going through difficulties and trying to raise their children. And John talked about in his prayer this morning about how difficult it is to raise children in our society. And it sure seems that way. Sure does. And so we have a lot of people who are going through a lot of difficulties right now. But I'll tell you what we also have. Right here in this group, we have a lot of older folks who have a lot of that gray hair that we're looking at in the mirror and we're lamenting and all that. And what's not gray, it's because it fell out a long time ago. And we have a lot of people like that. But that's a great thing. That's an absolutely great thing. And while it's true that we have a lot of folks who are going through struggles in their marriage, a lot of folks who are going through struggles and trying to be a good parent, and whether it's a brand new parent and being overwhelmed by everything, even something just as small, seemingly, as, well, my baby keeps crying in worship services and people want me to take him out. I don't know when it's time to do that and when I should stay here and when to go out and what are people thinking about me? And people get all upset about that, you know. And I know it just makes you nervous. There are a lot of older folks who've been through that same thing too, ladies. A lot of older women who've been through that same thing too. Seek out their wisdom and their counsel about that. Or you're dealing with problems with your toddler, and what do you do? Look at the resource that you have available to you here. Or you're struggling with your teenager. Or you're struggling with your spouse. And you just don't know what to do. You have a tremendous resource here. A lot of folks who are long on the tooth and gray of the head, but absolutely are that way because they've walked down the path that you are just starting to walk down. Seek them out. Take advantage of some of these classes that we're talking about. I'll tell you what happens so often is that the people who sometimes need these kinds of classes the most are the very ones who don't come. And I'll tell you what happens then. They're the very ones that then have the more severe marital problems or the more dire problems with their kids. And then we as elders sometimes then get called in when things have just gotten a lot worse. And now it's so much harder to deal with some of these things. Take advantage of some of these classes. And value the wisdom that is there. Doesn't mean that necessarily the advice that older people are giving is necessarily 100% right. I'm not suggesting that. In fact, I'll say this to you. You've heard that expression, there's no fool like an old fool. Well, there's a lot of old people who are fools.
Gray hair is not a guarantee of wisdom. But you know what? Let me just make a couple of comments to you. If older people who've been there, if they're giving you some advice and counsel that you just don't want to accept, if you're thinking about going against what well-respected, proven, wise older people are advising you, if you're thinking about going against that, let me just give you a couple things to think about. Ask yourself this. Do you really have a good reason for acting against the counsel of those older folks? Just because they say it doesn't make it right. But well-respected older people, if they're giving you counsel, chances are what they're saying is probably right. And they probably know more about that than you do. So chances are you should rely upon their judgment as being better than yours in your own lack of experience. But if you're going to go against what they say, are you really sure that you have a good reason for acting against their counsel? And let me suggest that you also ask yourself this question. And here's the tough question, but at least have enough moral courage to ask yourself this question. If older people are advising one thing and you're saying, I'm not going to accept that, why do they see it differently than you do? Ask yourself that question. Make yourself wrestle with that question. If the advice and counsel of those older folks is not what you are wanting to accept, at least try to ask yourself, well, why do they see it that way? What is it? If I'm saying, well, they are wrong. Okay, they can be wrong, but why would they see it that way? Why would their judgment be that? If you think their judgment's silly, if you think they're being extreme, and a lot of times younger folks think that older folks are being extreme. You know, I was having a discussion the other day with my daughter along these same kinds of lines, trying to give her of the fountain of my wisdom. And she said to me, Dad, you realize how generational you sound? Never quite heard that expression before. Wasn't quite sure what you meant by that, but I thought I did, and I didn't like it. But I said this to her. You need to ask yourself, if you just think that what your mother and I are saying is just extreme and wrong, why do we think like that? Why do we think this is wise? Where did we come up with this? Are we just extremists? Are we just, you know, just weird people? Or maybe there's a reason why the older folks think the way they do and why their judgment is the way it is. And if you're a wise person, you're going to ask yourself that question. Why do they have that judgment on that particular issue? Maybe, just maybe, I need to listen to that. We have a lot of resources here, a lot of older folks among us, a lot of wrinkled faces that are not signs of something negative, but instead are just badges of honor and signs of wisdom. And I hope that you'll take advantage of that. And you'll seek out those who are older and ask for some advice and counsel. And that's something that we all need to do. I appreciate very much your listening to me this morning. I wonder if there's someone who needs to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ in some way. Can we assist you in doing that? Won't you come while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement?